Cheetah Pompano, that's a great spot to watch any big game or any big fight card on the weekend. HD TVs throughout the club and VIP areas, four stages of entertainment, and the most beautiful ladies in South Florida. Cheetah Pompano, they've got an amazing complimentary free gourmet lunch till 3 p.m. every day. Happy hour specials till 6. They've got a full dinner menu in the evening as well. And Halloween is coming up. Cheetah Pompano, Cheetah Palm Beach have their Haunted Mansion Halloween party Thursday the 31st. Halloween at Cheetah Pompano or Palm Beach cannot be beat. $250 cash prize for the best costume. You can wear a costume for free admission. Every day is a great day at Cheetah Pompano Beach. Make sure you visit Cheetah Palm Beach as well. Certainly on Halloween. You want all the details? Just check out CheetahSOFL.com. All right, Tuan Russell is going to join us. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk some Canes with Tuan, reminder, if you're looking for the best Canes or Dolphins merchandise this season, check out Caneswear in Davie, University Drive next to LaSpada's, or online at caneswear.com. Tuan, of course, crowd, this is tradition, certainly for UMFSU week. I mean, we talked to him throughout the year, but UMFSU week, Tuan joins us, and Gino Toretta joins us, and we like to celebrate the pageantry of this week. He played linebacker for the Hurricanes in the 90s, played a couple seasons linebacker for the Dolphins. You know the story if you listen to this show. The Russell Education Foundation does such great work helping the youth of South Florida. And Tuan is the athletic director at St. Thomas Aquinas. But when it's UMFSU week, Tuan is just a Hurricane rooting for an ass-kicking of those Florida State Seminoles. And that's the truth. And he's joining us now. Hello, Tuan.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Am I right? Am I right? I think Crowder even. Will you
it's
acknowledge Crowder?
To be.
A Miami Hurricane. Crowder.
I just need somebody to join in with me.
Crowder's an honorary Cane this year.
Tuan, they let me get in on the top five team this year, Tuan. Are you okay with that, that they let me sneak in because my Gators are getting the hell beat out of them weekly?
I think the world of you can join whatever team I'm on. Any team I'm on, you're more than welcome to join. I'm all in with Crowder.
So here's
except for when we play those Gators. Other than that, I'm all in.
Right.
Then well, this year wasn't that hard, Tuan. Goodness gracious.
Didn't want to say anything, but we know. So here's the thing, though, Tuan. It's a great season, and they're undefeated, and Cam Ward looks like a possible Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, it really is going well. They're three touchdown favorites over FSU Saturday night. But you, being a longtime Hurricane player, fan, supporter, do you tell everyone, hey, slow your roll? Like, as bad as FSU has looked and as good as UM has looked, just slow your roll. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen Saturday night.
100%. If you're not going into this game, understand it's a rivalry game. Something's wrong with your brain. I don't care what the record is of University of Miami is, and I don't care what the record is of Florida State. University of Miami and Florida State have played over 65 times, and right now it's 35-34. Miami's up by one game over the 65 or 66 times they've played in the history of University of Miami and Florida State going back and forth. The records don't matter. When you look at the rosters and you go team by team, player by player, these guys played Little League together. They played high school together. They did all the all-star games before they went to college. They played against each other in college. And these guys know each other. These are brothers playing against brothers. These are friends playing against friends. And when you put your hands in the dirt, it's less about, you know, what's going to happen in the nation. It's about who owns the state of Florida. And every time I think of the University of Miami and Florida State game, I think about Michael Barrow knocking the crap out of, I forget the wide receiver's name from Florida State, but it's, whenever you Google University of Miami and Florida State rivalry, you have a FSU wide receiver on his back. I think it was Tomorrick Vanover. I'm not 100% sure, but you see his mouthpiece flying out, sweat coming off his face. Mike has the meanest, ugliest face in the world, and he's driving him into the ground, and it doesn't look like football. It looks like violence, because that's what happens. When you compete against somebody you know, and that you, and these guys love each other, they know each other, you're going to see hard-hitting, fast-playing football. It's not about the records. It's about owning the state of Florida, and we've been battling over 66 times. And I promise you, University of Miami wants to make sure they walk off that field and have won 36 and not 35 times.
It was Tamarick Vanover, by the way. That's who we're thinking of.
Yeah.
And Barrow was a bad man back then. I've seen that hit 100 times.
The Bermuda Triangle, you had Michael Barrow, Jesse Armstead, and Darren Smith, the baddest linebacker trio, arguably, in the world. And when you look at the what they've done in their career, they have almost 40 years of NFL experience between the three of them. They all played together. They're probably three of the baddest football players that played together as a unit to go on to the National Football League than anybody else in football.
Whew. My first thing popped in my mind was Vilma and DJ. Vilma and DJ popped in my mind, but they didn't have that third. I think you're right. Some bad men. Twan, and this is, you know, we're both defensive guys. We both play the same damn position. I don't want to say what's the problem. I want to say, how do we fix it? Because VTech, Cal, and Louisville all had, if you average it, it's over 400 yards of offense. And then Cam Ward goes out there in the fourth quarter and drops 21, and we're good to go. How do we fix that when the defensive backs struggle? Do you send more pressure so they don't have to cover as long? Do you play more zone because they have help? How do we fix this secondary?
Well, we're young in the secondary. When you look at the guys that are playing, I mean, we have a couple guys that have transferred in. We're young in the secondary. We have some challenges in that place. Now, we're fixing it because of D-line. We're fixing it because how much we blitz. We have to be careful, because if you blitz too much, now you're putting your corners and your safeties on an island. Now they're in zero covers playing one-on-one. So they're trying to mix it up. I'll tell you, the MVP of all of this is the defensive coordinator. He is pulling it out because our defensive line, I think, is very talented. But when you start getting into the pass portion of it, we have struggled. And I think he's working with that. And you know what? We all know if you can play complementary football, you can win. And that's what Miami's doing. The defense is playing well enough, and the offense is figuring it out. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback in my life, and maybe I'm biased because he has that orange and green on, but I've never seen a guy that takes the snap, takes three drops, drops back three steps, take out a coffee maker, pours a cup of coffee, puts some sugar in it, and stirs around a little bit, takes a sip, puts his pinky up, scans the field, hey, mama, I think I'm going to throw it over to the left, throws it to the left, the guy catches it and goes run for 20 yards or a touchdown. I've just never seen somebody look so calm and so cool. It almost looks like he's not trying, but him not trying is faster and better than everybody else on the field. He's playing in slow motion. He sees the field in slow motion. Everybody else sees it when you like fast forward it through a reel. Everybody else is fast forward, and he's playing in slow motion. It's almost like he has a superpower, and we don't know it. But he's been masterful. He is literally the reason why the University of Miami has won the last seven games, and it's been fun to watch. I have not. I mean, literally, who were we playing? What was it? Cal. And nobody was in my house. My wife's up in Tennessee with my son. I didn't go to that game. I'm running around the house by myself. I mean, and you know, it was the middle of the night. It's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm running the house, high-fiving. The dogs are jumping up on me because I'm jumping up by myself. It was the best experience I've ever had in my life by myself. And I'm rooting for my Canes. And honestly, I hope we bring all the smoke this weekend, Florida State. They deserve everything we get. And I hope we don't come off the gas pedal, but we can't go into that game thinking, oh, we're up, you know, we've won, you know, seven games. We have to walk into that game understanding that we're going to play the toughest opponent that we're going to play all year, because they're playing for pride, too. When a man's playing for pride, he's a dangerous man. And we have to go in there and break their wheel right off the bat.
Juan jumped into that koi pond after that Cal game. He didn't know how to celebrate.
That's a great idea. I'm getting in the koi pond. I never thought about that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm doing it.
What if you land on
Beatrice? I'm doing it.
No, but you know what? You mentioned Cam Ward, and it really is, it's like, you watch him, everything you said is so right on. There are a lot of quarterbacks who can extend a play. We've seen this over and over and over again. The way he does it so casually, and I'm sure it only appears casually, but it does appear like he is never feeling any kind of pressure to hurry a throw. And again, he throws picks, so he obviously does. But his demeanor is so relaxed. I wonder if is like for me, I watch it and I marvel. I think it's great. I wonder if it could be taken as a detriment instead of a positive, where they go, hey, you need to feel more pressure back there.
I don't think so, because imagine how that offensive quarterback feels when Cam Ward walks to the sideline and he goes, hey, coach, I threw a pick. This is what I saw. I thought I could do this. He ran a little faster than I thought. And I tried to lob it over, but then he reacted. Not a big deal. I won't do it again. I'll throw a pick. I'm going to go down a drive. I mean, that's how the conversation looks when he's talking to the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator almost looks like the student. And they're having a real debate. Like, sometimes I see him talk on the sideline, and he's saying, hey, yeah, that's not it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't like that. No, I don't like that. I mean, during the Cal game, they called the timeout, and they were debating very, like, almost like businessmen partners. They were debating on what they wanted to throw. He says, no, not that throw. I like this one. He's like, no, not that one because of this. And they were going back and forth. And I think that's what has allowed that offense to be so successful, because the guy that's throwing the ball has as much input as the guy that's calling the plays and creating a game plan. And they have great respect for one another, and he's earned that respect because the way he plays the game, he's highly knowledgeable. He understands the game at the same level, I think, that the coaches understand it. He's communicating with them in a high level. And I wonder, as we go through this NIL and you see more of these guys say, hey, you know what, instead of me going to the league, let me stay in college one more year. Now you're getting a high-level, intelligent man staying in college, leading younger men. And I think that's what he's done. I think when he walked in the room, he's been through the process. He's been through the fire. He's gone through it all. He was ready to go to National Football League. He came back to the University of Miami. So really, we almost have like an NFL quarterback guiding our guys, hopefully to a national championship.
And Twan, we've talked about him a lot, but the same thing you're saying, interception or touchdown, he doesn't get excited and start, mm-hmm. Throwing his helmet and slapping it. Those interceptions, he doesn't throw his helmet against the wall. He goes, Twan, I've watched it. I've watched it a number of games. He either goes and talks to a coach, gets the iPad, or gets on the phone to figure out what he did, good or bad. I don't want to say no emotion because I know he wants to win, but to your point, it's a very mature way of approaching it, and I love that, Twan. But is this – I want to change gears a little bit with that. Is this what we were waiting for with Mario Cristobal? Because the trenches seem like they're getting back to legit trenches. That's why I said I don't question the front four, the front seven, and you're right, the linebackers can't cover that great, but this front four and this offensive line looks like what I played against when I was at Florida playing Miami.
It's looking more like University of Miami football. They're doing it differently. I mean, they're doing it very differently. And when you look at those great teams in the past, in the 90s and the 2000s, those teams were, it was defense first. It was shutting your opponent down to, less than 15 points. Now we're in shootouts. I don't remember having so many shootouts in the season. But you know what? We have to remake ourselves. The game has changed. I mean, when you watch college football across the board, with the way the transfer portal has changed football, the parity in college football is very tight. Like there's not a lot of difference between 25 and number one. So just like the National Football League, the guy that wins the team that wins the Super Bowl, they've had probably 10 games where it was a 3-point different game. So I think you're going to see more of this in college football when those big teams play one another, especially in the same conferences. You're going to see very slim margins, and the University of Miami is learning how to play the game a little bit different. Now, I do think that we're going to get to a place where our defense is going to catch up. I mean, we're very close. Very close, and we have some young guys coming in, especially in the secondary. And I've talked to those guys, and they talk about the linebackers that are going to be coming in. And if they can figure out a way to keep that style of defensive line, that nasty, brutal, I mean, those guys are dogs with you know, high level linebackers and corners, and we're going to be it's going to be hard to beat a University of Miami. I love what Mario has done, and I've been talking about it. Every time I come on, I say, hey guys, I got to get through year three. Mario is this is what he's been talking about, and he needed some time to figure it out. He needed some time to put the pieces in place. Now we haven't made it. We can't sit here and say we've done anything yet. We've only won seven games, but when you look at what we have gone through for the last 20 years, man, this looks more like what we were thinking. Now we're getting there differently. I mean, we're going through shootouts. I would love to see the defense step up, but they're going to get there. And I think we're going to see some exciting football starting with Florida State this weekend. And I think we got number six Miami, you know, going to play a Florida State that's, you know, having its challenges. But we're going to walk in there, man, with all the piss and vinegar we can bring to the table and play real Canes football.
I think it's number five, too. I don't think you want to short us one spot on the
We five? Am I shorting us? Well, you know,
I think you are. Aren't they number five, Solana?
I don't believe so. I think they stood pat at six, Sock.
Yeah, but it's okay. AP. There's different ones because I said five earlier, but there's different rankings. So I think it's six on the AP.
Well, I mean, hey, we end the hunt. We end the conversation. I mean, if the playoffs started right now, we got a bye.
Wow, they are six.
That's
the AP.
All I know.
Man, that anti-Miami bias is still out there. It's ridiculous. You got these one-loss SEC teams, and they're ahead of Miami. It's ridiculous, Dwan.
Hey.
Well, let's talk about that. Have you seen – I have not seen this much venom to at the University of Miami in a long time. They walk into these hostile environments, and they are cussing and yelling and saying the foulest things to the University of Miami. I feel like we're at home again. Like,
we're back,
baby.
This is
what they used to do to us. Like, everybody loves to hate Miami. I love it.
Twan, y'all ain't putting up 40 against Alabama, Georgia, or Tennessee now, Twan. I'm going to warn you now.
Here comes this SEC.
Oh, so they
got
to put 40 on us? Like, they got to line up and play football.
Completely misplaced. Completely misplaced.
I mean,
bro.
Are we talking about Florida State or are we talking about Alabama? Alabama got two losses on their schedule.
Was it to Georgia and Tennessee? We just beat each other up.
Hey, you just misery loves company. You just trying to find a way to pull me down into the dirt.
No, didn't Alabama? Alabama didn't lose to Georgia and Tennessee.
To Tennessee, and it was.
It was like Vanderbilt or something.
Vanderbilt and Tennessee this past week.
I didn't want to throw it out of that. My son went up there. You know, they went up there and put their hands on him.
Twan, I know we got to go, Twan. So you got a koi pond and a bunch of dogs. Are you Dr. Doolittle? How many? You have any other pets?
I have 70 koi, seven turtles, and two standard poodles. We got a bunch of squirrels and stuff running around the yard.
Twan, if you just want to feed somebody, I got three kids if you want to shoot me a check or something.
Hey, man, if your kids eat like you, I don't want to do that.
Check out the Russell Education Foundation online. They've got their second annual Rally for Reading Pickleball Tournament coming up. And I know, Solana, that speaks to you. Loves himself some pickleball. Are you going to participate again, Twan?
Yeah, I'm gonna put these bad knees to work. I'm gonna get it going.
Solana could say the same thing. Unfortunately, he's only 30, but he's gonna put his bad knees to work as well. Twan Russell, we love having you on, especially UMFSU week, and I hope that it is a master class this Saturday night by Mario, Cam, and the rest of the Hurricanes. That would be fun, and we will speak with you as the season progresses. Thank you, Twan.
All right, I'll see everybody in the koi pond. I'm jumping in.
Mark down Twan's house for Halloween. It's coming up soon, man. He's got the koi pond out front. He's probably giving out the full-size candy bars.
Nope.
He's feeding 77 animals.
I actually remember Twan telling us that he turns the lights off. Like, he doesn't
turn the light
like
off and like, close the gate.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Twan. There you go, Twan Russell.